Chapter 3 The Romans Come Again. Caesar must have felt that he had not really conquered the Britons, for, as soon as he arrived safely in France, he began to gather together another army. In the spring of the following year, he again sailed over to Britain. He came now not with 80, but with 800 ships and many thousands of men. But this time there was no one to meet him when he landed. The Britons, indeed, had heard of his coming, and had gathered in great force to resist him. But when they saw such a huge number of ships, their hearts were filled with fear, and they fled into the forests and hills to hide. It must have been a wonderful sight, in the eyes of the ancient Britons, to see so many ships sailing on the sea all at once. They knew scarcely anything of the great lands which lay beyond the blue sea surrounding their little island. They had not even dreamed that the whole world contained as many ships as they now saw. So it was not surprising that at first they were afraid and fled. But they did not lose courage for long. They soon returned, and many battles were fought. The Romans seemed to think that they won all these battles, but the Britons were not at all sure of it. Certainly a great many people on both sides were killed. If the Britons had been less brave than they were, they would have been very badly beaten, for the Romans wore strong armor and carried shields made of steel, while the Britons had little armor, if any at all, and their shields were made of wood covered with skins of animals. The Roman swords, too, were strong and sharp, while those of the Britons were made of copper. Copper is a very soft metal, and swords made of it are easily bent, and so made useless. The Britons at this time were divided into many tribes, each following their own chief. They often used to quarrel among themselves. Now, however, they joined together against their great enemy, and chose a brave man, called Cassivellaunus, to be their leader. Cassivellaunus led the Britons so well, and Caesar found it such a difficult task to conquer them, that at last he was glad to make peace again, and sail back to his own country. He did not like to go away as if he had been defeated, so he sent messengers to the British chief, saying, "If you let me take some of your warriors back to Rome, as a sign that you are now Roman subjects, and will not rebel against me, I will go away." The Britons were only too glad to be rid of Caesar and his soldiers at any price. They gave him some British soldiers to take back to Rome, and even promised to pay him a certain sum of money every year. But it almost seemed as if Neptune had been doing battle for his beloved Albion with his winds and waves. For while Caesar had been fighting the Britons, such fierce storms arose that his ships were thrown upon the rocky shore, and many of them dashed to pieces. Indeed, so few of his ships remained fit to put to sea again that Caesar could not take all his soldiers away at one time. As many went as could, and the ships came back again for the others. Caesar did not leave any soldiers in Britain at all, so it does not seem as if he had really conquered the land. These things happened in the year 54 B.C., that is, 54 years before Christ was born. All Christian lands count time from the year in which Christ was born, because his coming is the most wonderful thing which has ever happened. Anything that took place before Christ was born is said to be in such and such a year, B.C. Everything which has taken place since then is said to be A.D., or Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. For instance, this book is written in the year 1905 A.D., or 1905 years after the birth of Christ. End of Chapter 3. Read by Kara Schallenberg, www.kray.org, on May 9, 2006, in Oceanside, California.